Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Welcome everyone here tonight. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host tonight, Pastor Dean Odell, along with my co-host, Pastor Kevin Wilkinson and Pastor Billy Painter. And we are here in our, our undisclosed location in the woods of East Alabama, Central East Alabama anyway. We are a production of Fire and Grace Church and Dean Odell Ministries, but we welcome you tonight. Glad you're with us. What is today? It is July 15th, 2014, and there is a lot going on. Been praying about this episode this evening and what we should be getting into. There's so much going on. We could spend 3 hours on just the news headlines and what's going on in the world and how it pertains to Bible prophecy and the return of Jesus Christ, but all the things that are going to lead up to his return. And I'm just going to say this at the outset tonight, that there's no doubt in my mind that we are in the beginning of sorrows, as Jesus said. He said, you would hear of wars and rumors of wars. You would hear of famines and pestilences and earthquakes, great earthquakes in diverse places. And this, of course, Matthew 24. But he said, but the end is not yet. He said, these things are the beginning of sorrows or the beginning of birth pains. And we are definitely in those birth pains. Tonight we're going to move in a little different direction, a little more focused tonight on the gift of prophecy and prophetic words that God has been giving people, prophetic words and dreams. We're going to share some that the Lord has given me even recently, and I'm going to share with you a word God gave me on December the 31st of 2013 for 2014, and how almost every day that prophecy is coming to pass. I also have a special treat tonight. We've even uploaded the sound bites where my little four-year-old, she's four and a half, little Faith Marie, really she loves the Lord. And this weekend we've just been in an atmosphere of worship and an atmosphere in the presence of God. We went to Revival Now Ministries summer, I guess you would call it summer conference, and with David Copeland and some other ministers that are involved in his network of ministries. We are involved with him, and it was just a powerful weekend with him and Faith set through those services. And then, of course, our church service yesterday, and so, I mean, Sunday, and then Monday, she was just in rare form and shared with me a dream that she had that immediately when my little four-year-old started talking to me, I knew God had been giving her was giving her a prophetic dream and revelation, and immediately I knew that we needed to take that direction and flow with what the Holy Spirit is saying, whether it be from me or someone else or even a four-year-old. God can speak, and I'll show you in a minute. I've started writing an article entitled Your Sons and Daughters Shall Prophesy, and that, of course, is from Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2, but it's pertaining to the end times. God said he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And he said that in the context of the great and terrible, notable day of the Lord, when there will be blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And so we're going to look at that, and I think you'll be blessed. God is speaking today. The gift of prophecy, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the nine gifts of, you know, the gift of prophecies, one, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, the gifts of healing, the gifts of the working of miracles, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, and of course the which one am I forgetting here? Oh, word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. So nine gifts, they're all for us today. I love what Peter said when he was preaching in Acts chapter 2, when he was talking about the day that they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire, all began to speak in other tongues. They began to prophesy and glorify and magnify God through the gift of tongues and the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit that day. And Peter stood up and he said, "This promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So Jesus, through Peter there, was saying the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, all those things would be for the church. As many as would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior could be filled with the Holy Spirit and hear his voice and flow in the supernatural, and that even little children can. And that's what's so powerful. And God said, "I will speak through your children, your sons and your daughters, in the last days." And God is speaking. Even my brother, I've shared not too long ago, my brother who lives over in Georgia, his five-year-old, at the time when she was five, had a powerful prophetic dream about a nuclear detonation near them. And just, she didn't even know anything about that. She never even seen anything like that, not even on TV. They don't watch stuff like that. So God can speak, and here's the good news. If you're a born-again believer out there, you've been saved and you love Jesus, the good news is Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me." And he said, if I go away, I'll send you another comforter, and he will be with you and he will be in you, and he will speak to you and he will show you things to come. So God is a God who wants to communicate with his people. And yes, we believe that he communicates primarily through the written word of God, the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament, Matthew to Revelation, the New Testament. We believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible word of God Almighty, the Creator. But we also know that he is not a dead God. He's not a God of just a creed or a written word. That he is alive, he's powerful, that he speaks presently to his people that are listening and paying attention. And he uses different means to do it. He'll speak through the word, he'll illuminate something and give revelation and understanding in the scriptures. But sometimes you will hear his voice, you will see a vision, you will dream a dream that's from him. We see this throughout the Bible, that God spoke to all different kinds, prophets and priests and apostles and just mere servants and deacons, and he spoke to the lowest saint that was just serving, to the mightiest apostle. But God still speaks today to his people. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at what God is saying, because there are some very, very serious warnings coming from prophetic revelation, prophetic words from God about America and what's coming to America and the world. And we better wake up, because it is fast approaching. It is fast coming upon us. And God gives these warnings so that we'll prepare spiritually, emotionally, and physically, in the natural realm as well. But so many people are not prepared. And that's why, I just want to say it again, that's why we do this radio show. That's why we broadcast our services, our Sunday morning service, even our Bible studies sometimes. We are trying to warn as many people as we can. Tonight, I want to put this out there as we get into this broadcast. We got to go to the news in just a minute. But I want to put this out there. Tonight, I would love for people, if you've had a prophetic dream, a dream that you know that God gave you, I don't care, you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or anything, but if you feel like, I don't care if you're a teenager, if you feel like God gave you a dream that really shook you and that you feel like you ought to share tonight in the you know, context of what we're talking about, a warning for America and in the end time prophetic context of what's coming on the world, we would love to hear from you and have you share that. And so our number is 347-884-8566. That's 347-884-8566. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the news, and then we will get into our subject. But we're glad that you're with us tonight. Stay with us. Email somebody, Facebook somebody, call somebody, text them, let them know, hey, you need to listen to Prophecy Quake tonight because the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus, is speaking to his church. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
Turkey Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan stepped up his rhetoric against Israel over its air offensive on Gaza, accusing the Jewish state of committing state terrorism against the Palestinians. Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, says that the country will exert great force against Gaza's Hamas rulers after the Islamic militants rejected a truce agreement. Netanyahu added that Israel has no choice but to respond more forcefully. Gaza militants fired approximately 125 rockets since the truce was to have begun. BRIC Bank, five emerging powers to announce alternatives to the IMF World Bank. Fed up with U.S. dominance, the five emerging market powers this week will launch their own version of the World Bank. Thomas Wright of the Brookings Institute says that they want a safety net if they have a fallout with the West. The five emerging market powers are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They are seeking alternatives to the existing world order. The UN is seeking to intervene in the U.S. border crisis. Representatives of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees are intensely discussing the possibilities of extending UN protection to the thousands of Central Americans and pseudo-Central Americans crossing into the United States illegally by defining them as refugees who are seeking asylum from political and domestic violence in their home nations. U.S. Senate Budget Committee ranking member Republican Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama has publicly warned all of his colleagues in Congress that President Obama's new immigration strategy of legalizing millions of illegals crossing our borders through another of Obama's power players of executive powers could destroy America as we know it. Many doctors are now saying that the U.S. border crisis is absolutely a major threat to our nation. Middle East continues to boil over. America's borders wide open for terroristic threats and possible epidemic and pandemic events. These are the headlines for today, July 15th, 2014.
This has been Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter. Join us this Sunday morning at Fire and Grace Church right here in the Opelika, Auburn area. Our Sunday morning worship starts at 10:30 a.m. and we go live on Blog Talk Radio at 11 a.m. We would love to see you there. Our website is fireandgracechurch.org.
Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle. We're going to jump right into it tonight. We want to talk about some prophetic warnings that God has been giving to America. But just because we have new listeners from time to time and gathering new ones every day, just want to give a little background here in the scriptures, because the Bible is very clear about, even in the New Testament, I think a lot of people tend to believe that the prophets ended when the Old Testament ended and we moved into the new covenant, but that's not true, because we're told in Ephesians chapter 4 that God gave gifts unto men, and that he called and he said there would be a fivefold ministry, and he said there would be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And so I've always said that, you know, according to that in Ephesians 4, we certainly all haven't come into the unity of the faith. We certainly all haven't become a mature believer, and we certainly don't have the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus that we need yet. So what I believe the Lord was saying there through the Apostle Paul, that he was saying very clearly that you need these ministry gifts to continue to build the church and the church to do what it's called to do, to equip them to do the work of the ministry, and that includes apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So we see there that prophets are still a ministry needed in the church today, and that's what's sad, is that not only are the gifts of the Spirit neglected in most churches, But certainly the ministry gift of apostles and prophets are really shunned. And we're even getting in these days less true evangelists than I've ever seen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and there is a command here. And we're not going to get into the tongues and interpretation issue tonight, but Paul was talking about the church. In the church, he said in verse 26, matter of fact, let's just read verse 26. He says, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and by course let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter in the church, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now listen to verse 29, which is obey. This is a command from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, and this is what he said. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, I want to say this right here very clearly, okay? God expected his New Testament church to be full of prophets. To be full of prophets and the gift of prophecy. And the true gift of prophecy, he said, would edify us, it would encourage us, it would comfort us, it would build us up. I like what it says in the earlier part of the chapter. It talks about that prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Well, exhortation means to call someone near to Jesus. So that means if anything's in their way, keeping them from being close to Jesus, a true prophet's going to point that out and going to deal with that problem. The edification word means to build up. That's in, I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 14:3. The true gift of prophecy is going to edify and build up. And then he talks about, of course, comfort. And, you know, there's a lot of times when the gift of prophecy is flowing and God is comforting an individual because they know that God is speaking about their situation to them, maybe through another person or in a church service, and God is speaking through them, and they're touched by that in powerful ways. And I could give many examples. But listen, the true church of Jesus Christ, we're commanded, let the prophets speak, two or three. And he says here that prophets have things revealed to them. Now, I'm going to quote an Old Testament verse real quick tonight. This is in the Old Testament. This is in the book of Amos. You can turn there if you want to, but you can check me out. But in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, it says this. It says, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. God reveals secrets. He reveals things ahead of time. Even today, when I was doing my prayer time and some study time and just meditating on what we would do tonight, I looked up the word prophesy in from Acts chapter 2 when he said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And I looked that word up in the Greek, and of course the pronunciation is prophetio, and the Greek word means this. And this is the definition in the Strong's Greek Dictionary. To me, I believe probably the best Greek dictionary that we have, even though it was done back in around 1875, I think. Still a great resource to study the Bible. But he says that the definition of the Greek word for prophesy is to foretell events, to speak under inspiration, and that is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so you're speaking supernaturally, to exercise the prophetic office. So a powerful, to foretell events. Now, do you know that I've heard preachers and teachers in the charismatic Pentecostal movement say that the gift of prophecy was not to foretell events in the New Covenant? And I'm sitting here looking, and here's the word, to foretell events. And then, of course, you know, I've shared this on the program before, but we looked at, you know, Acts chapter 11, you look at Acts chapter 20, and we see a man who ministered in the early church back then, a man named Agabus, and they called him Agabus the prophet. And in both situations, you see him foretelling events. In one case, he foresaw a famine that was coming, and he prepared the church, he told the church, there will come a famine. in the land. And it came to pass not too long after that, in just a little while, but the church was able to prepare themselves and start getting ready to help people who were going to be hardest hit by this famine. So God has always used prophets in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in his present church. And we need to understand. Now, are there a lot of false prophets and people who think they're prophets and they're just speaking out of their own mind, out of their own hearts, out of their own imagination? Yes, we see them. Most of them get big TV ministries. But nevertheless, you can discern, and Jesus said that we would beware. He said, beware. He said, there will be false prophets among you. He said, there will be wolves in sheep's clothing, and that you will have to know them by their fruit. So what he was saying is it's going to take a little effort, going to take a little work, a little discernment. You're going to have to be close to Jesus to be able to tell who's a true prophet and who's not. But you'll know them by their fruits. Do they preach the true doctrine of the Scripture, the true doctrine of Christ? Do they have lives that are righteous and holy, and are they good examples? Are they out trying to, get little widows to give all their last two mites so they can drive BMWs? We can look at fruits, and we can find out. Of course, it's an important thing that if a prophet does foretell something, that to watch and see if things that they have foretold come to pass. Now, I'll say this, in the New Testament, again, there are young believers who start stepping out in their gifts, and they don't always do it correctly, and that's why they should be around other seasoned ministers and men of God who've been in doing it a long time so they can be corrected and instructed. Getting it wrong on an occasion for a young believer doesn't mean they're a false prophet. It means they're a wrong prophet. They just need to learn, and they need to be more sensitive. And sometimes a mistake in a younger believer in that realm will cause them to be more careful and more cautious before they just jump and say, thus saith the Lord God, or give a word, or speak to somebody. But it is important, though, if you've got a ministry that says it's a prophetic ministry and they're older ministers and they've been around a long, 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 long time, and they're getting, 60 to 70% of the things that they foretell don't happen, I would run from that. I got a little hint that goes on in Morningstar and that whole prophetic movement out there quite a bit. They even admit that over 60% of their prophecies don't come to pass. That's unacceptable. I hate to be that blunt, but it is totally unacceptable. Something is wrong. If you are saying God is speaking to you and you're wrong that much of the time, you need to check and see what God is speaking to you, because God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, they don't get it wrong. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's got to go through a pipe sometimes, and sometimes it's like water flowing through a pipe. It picks up some stuff that's in the pipe, but you're not going to be missing it all the time. If you are, you need to check. Am I really a prophet here? Am I just trying to act like I'm one? Or am I just listening to an evil spirit and being led around by deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils? So, that's an important issue. But true prophecy has the element of foretelling what happened. And this has happened in my life quite a bit. When I was a young man, I'm not ashamed to say that I know that God called me to be a prophet in the fivefold ministry. I'm also called to be a pastor. There's been a season of my life where the calling of an evangelist was on me. There was a season of my life where I operated in the calling of a fivefold teacher. And probably right now I flow between a prophet and pastor and teacher more than any of the others. But I'm not ashamed. There's nothing wrong with saying that. People, it's not wrong for you to call yourself what you are in the body of Christ. If you're a pastor, call yourself a pastor. I don't have a problem with that. If you're an evangelist, call yourself an evangelist. I don't care. If I get around you and see those gifts flowing in you, I'll call you an evangelist or a prophet or a teacher. And that's what older men in the ministry, elders, should do anyway. They should be recognizing the gifts and callings on other younger men and confirming them and even ordaining some of them and helping them along. That's the way the church should flow. But I want to just share something, and some of you may have already heard this. Of course, I'm going back to December, and December 31st of 2014, the Lord gave me a prophetic word, 2013, for 2014. I shared when I wrote it down the first time back then that it was not something that I normally do or have had the Lord do, give me a word for a particular year. I know that there are prophets out there that somehow they are getting a word from God the same time every year for every year. I can't speak for them. I don't feel like personally that's the Lord's really doing that. But, you know, here again, whatever. They'll answer to God for that if they're, trying to market this thing. But the Lord spoke to me very clearly on that night, and he said these words. And basically, I was praying. I was home alone that evening, and the Lord gave me the word for 2014. He said it's unprecedented was the word. And as he began to speak that word to me, and I mean it came loud and clear, he told me that it would be across the board in warfare, terrorism, government, economy, environment, and the church, prophecy, and so on, that there would be unprecedented events in 2014. Now that is some guy jumped on my case that was on my Facebook and said, oh, that's just a blanket prophecy. You could just claim anything. I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I think when you say something's unprecedented, it means it's never happened before quite like that. Or just beyond. And of course, when you step out in the gift of prophecy, you kind of put yourself out there a little bit, but immediately things began to happen. That was on December the 31st of 2013. On January 2nd, there was an Arctic cold front that initially was associated with a nor'easter. It tracked across Canada and the United States. And, of course, there was what they called on January 2nd a sudden stratospheric warming that led to a breakdown of the regular polar vortex. And it caused a subsequent southward movement of Arctic air, and this led to record low temperatures. In fact, the Wikipedia article put it this way. He said, temperatures fell to unprecedented levels, and low temperature records were broken across the United States. This affected, it says, roughly over 187 million residents in the continental United States. But 49, think about this, on January the 7th, there were 49 record lows set across the country on January the 7th. Unprecedented. God began to move and began to do it. Just a few days ago, I found out, of course, the southern hemisphere, the Antarctica and Australia, have moved into their winter, and already they are setting record low temperatures in the Antarctic and in Australia. The lowest temperatures they've ever seen, ever. Now, that's two hemispheres in the same year having unprecedented cold weather in their winter. So God got my attention immediately when this began to happen. That was, of course, in January that it all started. Of course, just a month later, I discovered that, of course, we were not alone in the United States. And, of course, that cold front affected not just Canada and the United States, but it reached all the way down to northern Mexico. And amazing just how God began to do these things. And he said, just in the next month, in February of 2014, an article came across the wire from, it was the Jerusalem Post, and it said, Israel is experiencing unprecedented drought conditions. That's the title of the article on February 10th. Then on March 6th, there was a Guardian report that the Queensland drought in Australia spread to an unprecedented 80% of the state. And, of course, there were tweets that Australia had been severely challenged by drought and then floods. So they've had a rough time. And, of course, right now what's going to affect the United States, this was on May 2nd of 2014, AccuWeather.com posted, unprecedented 100% of California is in drought. Today I read an article that there's been a 14-year drought, and it's so bad now in Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City, that their water supply is about gone. And so they got 1 year of water left for Sin City. You think that's a coincidence there?
Not at all.
We should go on down the line. One of the things that, and I'm going to get into my daughter's dream that she had. This is important for us to understand. But we're understanding that, you know, this drought in California, that is unprecedented. This, I mean, this is exactly the article title from AccuWeather.com on May 2nd was unprecedented, 100% of California in drought. Another article came across a little bit later and said that California, the summer for California was even expected to be much worse and just decimate California in drought. Well, why is that important? Because it's important because this, California produces a lot of food for the United States of America. And if that gets destroyed, well, here's what happens. Food prices, there begins to be food shortages of things that they produce. Well, this drought is not just in California. It's beginning to stretch across the United States. We see it stretching across Israel and in parts of Africa now. I mean, we are in a serious, serious situation here. And again, unprecedented levels. Now, just since I wrote the article, we've been seeing food prices increase. And we were talking about this before the program started. We just watch them. We go to the store now and buy something 1 week and go to the store the next week, and the prices have gone up. And I found out that because of the drought, cattle are dying, and they're not able to raise as much cattle. There's not enough pasture and all this stuff. And so meat prices are going to go up. But this is what was significant. And I'll go ahead and share my daughter's dream. And again, for those of you who didn't hear the beginning of this, I have a four-year-old, little Faith Marie Odell, and she is a precious little girl, and she loves mommy and daddy, and she's a good girl, and she's just been in a spiritual atmosphere, I guess, in these last few days because we went to the conference and everything on Saturday, and then she was in church Sunday, and so yesterday she was just something else. And you know, the Bible says, and we'll say it again in Acts chapter 2, he said, and I'm just going to read it. This is Acts chapter 2 verse 17. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now remember, it means they shall foretell events and speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So that's what prophesy means. And I will show wonders in the heavens above. That's the word wonders. I will show omens, signs in the heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath. We'll talk about that in a second. And he said, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And, of course, I believe we're in a period now. We're in the period of the four blood moons, another unprecedented thing that happens very rarely that will not happen again in our lifetime. And we're in that, approaching the second blood moon of the year in October. But there's another scripture in Psalm 8:2. It says this, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. So God says he's going to speak through sons and daughters, and that means children. If you look up the word sons and daughters in that verse in the Greek, it can mean children. And it also here, he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. So he's talking about little kids. I'm going to speak through them because of the enemies that are in the world. And so yesterday, it was just a special day with my four-year-old. She loves what she calls daddy time. And so she was getting some daddy time, and we usually just play games that we make up in her room. We got a game we play with a balloon and a bat, and we hit it, and she tries to catch it and all this stuff. And we do all kinds of stuff, and then she cooks for me in her little play kitchen, and we go outside, of course, and she plays in the dirt and, you know, plays on her swing. So we did all that yesterday. She got a little bit of everything. But before we went outside, we were in her room playing, and she just decided after we'd played for a little while, she went, not me. I didn't say anything about getting the Bible out or praying or talking to Jesus or anything. she said she wanted to get her Bible. So she goes to her little shelf, gets her little picture Bible, and I hear her sitting beside me, you know, kind of reading it to herself, looking at the picture. She's saying, oh, you know, Jonah, God told Jonah, I mean, Noah to build a boat, and, you know, she's talking about it. So I'm just letting her do her thing. I'm just laying on the floor. And so she goes and gets another couple of books, these little Bible story books, and she wants me to read them to her. So I read the books to her. Well, when I get through reading the book to her, the second book, she just looks up at me and she said, I had a dream. And she starts telling me the dream. And she starts talking about how she had a dream about these two horses coming and stealing food. Now, she told it to me first, and then I decided this, I knew, it just hit me, that this was a prophetic dream from the Lord, horses coming down and stealing food. We'll get into more of it. But then she told it to me, so then I pulled out my phone and clicked on the recorder and asked her to tell me again, and she did again. She told the same story. She gave a little bit more information, and then she told it a third time, and she told it the same way. Then I took her in the room and got her to tell her mother, and she told it again. So I know that this made an impact on her because she couldn't make up something and keep repeating it correctly. So what we have tonight, this is a cool little thing here. We're going to have her sharing it with you. If I can get back here to the studio and to the clips, we're going to play Faith's, this is my four-year-old, Faith Marie, sharing her prophetic dream about the horses coming down and stealing the food. And I have two. I got her to say it one time, and it only took her about a minute, and then I got her to say it again, and she gave a little more information. But I want you to hear God speaking, giving a prophetic word through a four-and-a-half-year-old. So here is Faith Marie sharing her prophetic dream.
All right, you had a dream, right? And you saw two horses. Mm-hmm. Okay, what were they doing?
They were stealing food. And they came down these steps and they steal food. And then the people were on the little tablet phone thing. And they hurried up home and they put the book and the food in cabinets. So then they ran so the owner wouldn't know that they got food and steal it. And they ran in the pit to keep to make sure the owner didn't know they ran away.
So why didn't the people see them stealing the food?
Because they were on old phones and they never paid attention.
Oh, that's amazing. Is that all there was to it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, here's her telling it again.
Okay, so you had a dream.
Had a dream, and the horses were coming down steps, and they came inside the building, and they came up the other steps, and the building was like next to each other.
Okay.
And they walked over here, and then they steal food while people were on tablet phones, and they ran over here and was there. Was there food, put it in little cabinets, and then they ran in the pit to make sure the man didn't know they stole food, and they went away.
Why didn't the people see them stealing the food?
Because they were doing chores, and they were, like, cleaning up their bed.
But you said they were on their phones and tablets?
Yeah, the people that were inside the other building. There was like a long table that was built like this.
Uh-huh. And the horses stole their food and they didn't see them? Why?
The people didn't see them because they were on the tablet thing.
And they were what?
And they were stealing food.
Okay.
Okay, so you heard her share it twice, and the main parts of the story stayed the same. These horses came down. They were stealing food. People were not paying attention because they were on phones and tablets. And these horses stole the people's food and went and hid them from them in cabinets and so that no one could find them. Now, immediately, of course, if you don't know the scriptures, if you don't know what's coming, if you don't know Bible prophecy, you go, this is just a little kid having a little dream. Well, immediately when she started talking about horses, my mind goes to the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6. There's the white horse, there's the red horse, there's the black horse, and there's the green horse. We've talked about that on here before, but I want to read the one that talks about the black horse. Now, this is very interesting because the black horse talks about food shortages and economic collapse. So in Revelation chapter 6, we need to understand this is a prophetic warning. And immediately when I heard Faith sharing this, I knew this was another prophetic warning that we are headed into difficult times in America when it comes to food shortages, economic collapse, famine from the droughts that we're having. We are maybe in the beginning stages of it, just in the beginning stages, and it's not really hit everyone. But I'm going to read this. This is the black horse of, and this is the third seal in the book of Revelation, Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. It says, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, or a denarii. See that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And of course, this prophecy coincides with what Jesus prophesied about the end time in Matthew 24 when he said, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and that's food shortages. That's people starving. That means food shortages sometimes happen because of drought, because of pestilence, because of, like the stem rust and fungus and locust and or no rain or whatever. There's a lot of reasons, mismanagement by governments or whatever. But it says, for nation shall rise against nation, Jesus said, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, plagues, diseases, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, I want to say very clearly that I can say the Lord has been speaking to me this phrase now for the last couple of weeks, that we are in the beginning of sorrows. It has begun. Am I saying the 7 years has begun, the last 7 years, the tribulation? No, I'm not saying that. I don't know where we are yet quite with that. But are we in the beginning of sorrows? Jesus didn't give a condition. You know, a lot of people got assumptions where they say, oh, well, this is all going to happen in the last 7 years. That's all when it happens. And that's not what the Bible says. Jesus just said, when you see these things begin to happen, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And boy, do we have this going on right now. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I shared in the article when I did the update in July, on July 4th, of the unprecedented prophetic word, that earthquakes, big earthquakes, megaquakes, 7.0 and bigger, have doubled in the first 3 months of 2014. It's double the average that we had. Back in 1979, let me give you an example. Back in 1979, we had an average of 10 earthquakes that registered over 7.0 on the Richter scale in a year. So we averaged 10 a year from about 1979 until 1992. Starting in 1992, the average jumped to 12.6 or whatever, 7. So we see a slight increase. Then a few years later, in 2000, it jumps up to like 16.6 or something like that. I can't remember. I don't have it right in front of me. But then we go through that, and then we see just in 2014 alone, in the first 3 months, we are double the 1979 average. That means 20 in just the first 3 months of 2014. CBS News put it out that earthquakes, mega earthquakes, have increased dramatically in this year at, and guess what, unprecedented level since the average in 1979 was established at 10. So we are seeing some very interesting things. So when Faith starts prophesying of the horses coming and stealing food, this prophecy right here in the book of Revelation. This black horse with the rider on it, with the pair of balances, and I've established this before in Zechariah 6, that these are evil spirits going forth into the land to accomplish to bring about the end time destruction and the end time judgments. And this one, it says, a measure of wheat for a denarii. Now, when this was written, a denarii was a day's wages. So he was saying one measure of wheat for an entire day's wages. Do you know how expensive that is? He's saying that food prices and food shortages were going to be what this horse brings us. And, of course, this horse, I believe, has already been riding up across the earth for a while now, but he's starting to get to America. And we are in big trouble when it comes to this, not only because of our environment, the lack of rain, which is a judgment from God, but our mismanagement by our government of our crops with the GMO stuff and everything else. We are getting destroyed where they're tampering with the weather, and I don't care if you think it's crazy, but they're spraying stuff in the sky. My aunt was a farmer, my great aunt. We found stuff in her in writings and notes, and she documented that starting back in the 1970s, she noticed them spraying things, the airplane spraying in the air, and how it began to change fruit trees and the crops and everything, and she couldn't grow stuff she could grow before. And, I mean, this woman was a great, you know, farmer. She could grow anything. And I remember when I was a little kid out here at the farm, you know, that we had every kind of fruit tree, plum trees, apple trees, peach trees, pear trees, pomegranate trees. We had everything. And now nothing will grow. And it's a shame what's being done. But through many different means, we are heading into this time. This horse is coming to steal our food. And here is the big, big wake-up sign to America. Everyone is distracted with their phones and their tablets and their computers and their TVs. And we're distracted with entertainment. We're distracted with pornography and lust and TV shows and movies. And everybody is oblivious. And notice that she said the second time that little Faith prophesied, well, they were doing chores too. So everyone's consumed with their work, their careers. They're consumed with their little bubble of their lives. And they don't realize that there is an economic storm brewing over America, that we are now $18 trillion in debt. The Federal Reserve is printing money like it's, you know, like they're making M&Ms or something. And, you know, it's unbelievable what's happened. Then we've got this article that Pastor Billy read a minute ago where the BRIC nations are getting ready to move away from the dollar to create their own central bank. And if China and Russia and Brazil, you know, all the South American and Central American countries, India, China, and South Africa, all the African nations, if everybody gangs up and decides they're departing from the dollar as the world reserve currency, the dollar will collapse overnight. Your money will be worthless. The stores will empty out. Then what are you going to do? The food, listen, hear what I'm saying. The food's going to be stolen. The food's going to be stolen. This horse is going to ride. This black horse is going to ride across America. It's ridden across Africa. It's riding in other places of the world. But this black horse is going to ride across America. And right now, everybody's got their face in a phone or a tablet or an iPad or a computer or a TV. Everybody's distracted. Everybody's about their own business. And when she shared that, it just jumped at me. It's time to wake up, folks, and get prepared spiritually, emotionally, and in the physical realm to make some preparations to take care of you and your family the best you can. You're going to be sorry if you think that this is just conspiracy theory, if you think that these warnings are not serious. God is warning, just like he did with Agabus the prophet, that a famine is coming. Acts chapter 11, go read it for yourself. A famine is coming to America, and it's going to hit in more ways than one. Most people have no comprehension what the UN getting involved in this border crisis that's been manufactured by Obama, manufactured for years. They've been preparing for this for years to bring this about. Listen, Bush was part of it, and Obama's part of it, and they've been preparing. Listen, we could have secured our border, our southern border, a long time ago. It's easy to do. Why didn't they? Why have presidents ignored this for three decades. Why? Because they want America to disintegrate. They want to create a North American Union, and to do that, you got to get rid of that border between the United States and Canada and the United States and Mexico. You've got to disintegrate it. But listen, what a lot of people don't know is one of the reasons the great Roman Empire of old fell was uncontrolled immigration. There's nothing wrong with immigration done correctly and in a controlled, manageable fashion, but not like this. And right now we have Middle Eastern terrorists posing and crossing the southern border. We have diseases crossing the southern border that would never get through customs at Atlanta Airport. But no, it can walk straight across our border in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico. We are in a heap of trouble. And now we know from a WorldNet Daily article, and WorldNet Daily is a very, very credible source. They're always ahead of the curve, always ahead of the game. Their sources always turn out to be right. But they got sources inside the UN saying the UN is seeking to get around the parameters that they've set to say that these people have to be political refugees before the UN can get involved, where they're trying to circumvent that so that the UN can come here and claim, have a PR reason to claim why they need to get involved in this in the United States. But what a lot of people don't know is that they've been moving UN vehicles in here for years. They've been moving UN troops and, quote, peacekeepers in here for years. This is a PR game to create a crisis and then move in and get people used to seeing the white vehicles running around. Oh, and the UN can help us. And then you got the UN getting involved trying to help, you know, in the Detroit water problem, which, again, another manufactured crisis. But now you bring in the United Nations. This is unprecedented in America to involve the United Nations on our soil in a, quote, peacekeeping, occupying, whatever you want to call it, mission. Folks, hear what I'm about to tell you, Americans. We are being taken over by the globalists, by the Illuminati, by the Satanists, by the satanic plan to overthrow America both economically and bring us under the control of the UN beast world government that's coming. And folks, that they're not going to be playing nice once they get control. But they've got to collapse us economically. They've got to create these crises. They have got to cause these problems so that they can get in and get a foothold. And they're doing it. Again, if we had a president, a real president, and a real Congress with men who would stand up and do the right thing, if we had this, these problems could be solved very quickly. I mean, we could solve our economic problems with just drilling for all the oil that we have. We would become one of the wealthiest nations on the earth. We could strengthen our military. We could strengthen our borders. We could strengthen our security without violating our Constitution. We could do a lot of things. But see, what a lot of people don't know, they're too busy into their entertainment and their porn and their lust and their movies and their and HBO and, you know, all these stupid things, their Twilight novels and Harry Potter and everything else. They're too into all this that they're distracted. They're not paying attention. I mean, here a four-year-old goes, the horses are coming. The horsemen of the apocalypse are coming to steal your food, and your face is stuck into a phone. It's stuck into a computer or a tablet, and you have no concept of what is about to rain down upon you. You should be buying food, not video games. Amen. You should be buying water and ways to purify water, not taking a vacation. You hear what I'm saying? And I'm not against taking a vacation. I'm just saying, what are you doing? Are you paying attention?
Exactly.
Things are about to go down.
You know, Pastor Kevin and I were talking earlier this evening about the border crisis, and Kevin made mention of the beginnings of the FEMA camps back in the 70s and 80s was to actually house immigrants who came into the country, to have a place for them. And how ironic it is that now that we have this large mass coming in of immigrants, quote-unquote, refugees into our country, and they're housing them into vacant warehouses and Walmarts, but not really the FEMA camps. And that's because the truth of the matter is those FEMA camps are not for the immigrants and the illegals coming across the border. Those FEMA camps are for us, the citizens of this country. And if that isn't a stark reality that you're realizing right now, you need to awaken yourself to that, because that is simply the truth. If you stop and think about it, and many people have heard this analogy before about the frogs in a pot of water. Well, my friends, that pot of water is boiling now, and it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. You better wake up and jump out of that pot, or you're going to get cooked. That's how close we are to these things taking place. And they're in the progress, the process, rather, of taking place daily. So what Little Faith said is just so amazingly spot on, so amazingly from God, giving it to a child. A child can see those things and understand them. But yet adults walk in this country in a purple haze, mesmerized by worldly trappings and treasures. People, it's time to wake up. We tell you this each and every week, and we tell it out of love. We don't want to see anybody perish or go through things that they could have proactively stopped. And we don't have time to just sit back and be idle. The time now is to go forth and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The time now is to go forth and prepare for your families. The time now is to saturate yourself with the Word of God and draw close to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. On that, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Recall what he said. long before they called it hyper grace. The Lord had me call it grace abuse. Long before they called it hyper grace, the Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival today at deanodal.org. Grace is not a license to sin.
We're back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake, and I'm your host tonight, Pastor Dean Odal, and we have along as our co-host, Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson, and we hope that you are blessed. Again, before we get into anything else tonight, we would love to hear from you. If you have had a prophetic dream or a word from the Lord, and it's really shaken you, and it's in this context of what we're talking about tonight, please give us a call, 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. We would love to hear what the Lord's sharing with you and talk with you about it. Back on what we were talking about a minute ago before the break, FEMA camps. I want to remind some people, a lot of people think, again, it's a conspiracy theory, okay? But let me go back to where it began for me because, there was a season from in the 2000s up to about 2006 that I was kind of out of the loop for a while because of just dealing with some personal trials and stuff going on in my life. But then God got me back into starting to research and starting to study 2007, 2008. But I really hadn't even got into the subject yet. I hadn't even heard about FEMA camps at this point. I hadn't heard about, Rex 84 and all those different programs and the plans to build, resettlement camps or whatever you call it, civilian intern labor camps as now the military term for them. So, I hadn't heard anything. And this is 2008, of course. God's beginning to show me it's time for me to start a church in Auburn, Alabama. I was in Washington, D.C., wants me to move back to my hometown of Auburn, Opelika, Alabama, and start a church. And so when I obeyed that, that's when God really began to speak to me. It was time to get back studying end-time Bible prophecy. Well, in between, before we could move here, we actually started having services before we moved from, I moved back to Georgia from D.C., and then my wife and I would travel from Georgia over to Alabama to do the meetings 2 hours, one way, on Sundays to do the services, and we started doing that before we moved here. But it was during that time that God really began to get me back on end-time prophecy. Well, before we left Georgia and moved here, my wife got together with some of her old friends and went and had dinner, a girls' night out, and they all went to have dinner one night. Well, one of her friends worked for the Department of Homeland Security. I won't say what agency, but anyway, they were just at that time, my wife didn't even know about the FEMA camps or anything. Again, you're talking about complete innocence here, right? So my wife's having dinner with one of her old friends, works for the Department of Homeland Security, and just kind of out of the blue, this lady who works for the government said, they're building these camps. She said it. She said, they're building these camps, and they say they're for immigrants.
She said, but I'm telling you, I know therefore Americans and therefore particularly American Christians. And then she began to tell my wife that the spirit of the anti-Christian sentiment and spirit at the Department of Homeland Security was unbelievable. She said she couldn't even have a Bible or anything on her desk. Somebody would just go off on her. I mean, it just, she just said the atmosphere was horrible toward Christians in Department of Homeland Security. True Christians, mind you. I'm sure they don't mind the Roman Catholics or, you know, the Joel Osteen churchgoers or the Oprah churchgoers. But true Christians that say the Bible is the word of God and Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. No, that's irritating. But she was, she had this, you know, the way my wife shared it, it was this real, you know, anxiety over this. So I remember when she told my home partner and me, so I began to look into it. And of course, at that time I came across Wall Street Journal Market Watch article, and this was in 2006, and it started, it was talking about a funding that Congress did where they funded Halliburton to start building these labor camps, these intern camps, these resettlement camps, whatever you want to call them, to start building them and also revamping military bases, shut down military bases into these detainment camps. So again, you know, I saw some of the documentation of it, and I'm going, you know, if Congress funds something, it's going to get built. You know, some construction company's going to take the bid, going to get the bid, and, you know, give the bid and take the job, and somebody's going to do it just to get the money, if anything. So if Congress funded it, then we know they're building it. So then we go fast forward a little bit, and that's really when I first kind of stumbled upon Alex Jones when I was looking this stuff up because of what I heard through my wife's DHS agent friend. So I didn't get it from Alex Jones or get it from someone else. I heard it straight from my wife's friend and started looking into it and confirmed it all, the whole 84 plan going on back then. Under Reagan, with Colonel Oliver North involved neck deep, I should say, and all that stuff. We fast forward a little bit further, and we fast forward, and Jesse Ventura, when he started doing his show, Conspiracy Theory, he did a show on the Homeland camps, and what was amazing, he went to one. He found one, controlled by ICE, which is a division of the Department of Homeland Security. And he goes to one, and they won't let him in there. Then he goes to the congressman whose name was on the bill to fund the place, to build the place. The congressman denies that it's there. He shows the congressman the bill. All of a sudden, he gets his memory back. And, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. But they're not concentration camps. And I remember thinking to myself, Jesse Ventura never said concentration camps. I said, And that was very interesting in and of itself, just that whole interview. I would encourage you to see that. But here's the real – well, here's another – I'll give you another event that happened in the media, then I'll tell you – I'll end it with another personal person that I know, an eyewitness of these things. But, of course, Glenn Beck, before he left Fox, the video is on YouTube. You can find it. But Beck was on the morning show live, and he was going, you know, he did his show in the afternoons, I think around 4 o'clock or something. And he was going to his show, and they said, well, what are you going to do your show tonight? Beck, and he said, oh, well, you know, we had a lot of talk about the FEMA camps. And he goes, you know, we were just going to put some people on that and research that and debunk it. And he said, but I've had people on that researching it, and we can't debunk it. Well, he was going to share about the FEMA camps, that it was a real thing, that night on his program, and his boss at Fox shut him down and would not allow him to do it, and it wasn't long after that that Glenn Beck left Fox News. Now, let me just tell you, I know they're real. I've heard it from we've heard it from a Department of Homeland Security agent. We've seen the funding in the Wall Street Journal articles. We've seen the documents from the United States Army website. I downloaded them directly myself from the United States Army website. We've seen now these things where Jesse Ventura actually went and found one, saw one, could not get any answers, and ended up with a lying congressman. So we've seen that this is a reality. Well, then, a few weeks back, and of course, get to the next level, because Americans have no idea what's about, just asleep. Said, if the world hated me, they will hate you. One of the promises of the end time is that they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and they will kill you. You will be hated of all nations for my namesake. America, for the most part, has been blessed by God to escape that type of persecution that's happening to our brothers and sisters in the Middle East right now, and that happened for years and years and years under communist Russia and communist China. We've escaped it, but they're planning it for us, you guys. And the only place of protection, the only place, the possibility of escaping this, you're not going to be raptured out of here before it happens. I hate to tell you, but it's not going to happen. The pre-tribulation rapture is a myth. You will not be raptured out of here before these things happen. It's time to get ready. It's time to man up. And I don't care if you're a woman, listen to me. It's time to man up a little bit and toughen up and realize that God's called us to go through tribulation. He's called us to endure. He's called us to be a light in the darkness, not want to escape. I don't want to escape. I want to be a light through Jesus comes, and that should be our heart. I want to lead people to the truth of Jesus, because listen to me. This life, this body, this physical life that we have, at the most, we got 80, 90 years, and then we die, and we got to stand before God, give an account of the judgment of God. Here's the thing. Jesus said, man will lose his life for my sake, he'll find it. If you'll live for Jesus now, he said, I'll give you eternity in heaven with me forever. Amen. That's not a big price to pay. And let me tell you, the only safety and the only protection that's going to be available in the days ahead, if you name the name of Jesus, you better be for real. You better be serious about following Jesus, living a holy life, a dedicated life, a life where you're seeking him and you're listening to his voice and you're walking in his protection and his deliverance and his freedom and his the truth of his word. Because, folks, I'm telling you, they're planning this stuff. So I'm preaching not too long ago. I'm preaching about the FEMA camps. This was at our church. And I'm preaching about the FEMA camps, and I'm talking about the guillotines. And, yes, there are guillotines stored at these places. Folks, you can say conspiracy theory if you want. These guys are nuts, but the Bible says, and I'm going to remind everybody out there, listen to me, Christian, if you're a Christian and the Bible says something's going to happen, there's something prophesied in the Bible, and people start talking about, they're seeing it beginning to come to pass, it is not a conspiracy theory if it's a Bible prophecy. Every Bible prophecy comes to pass, exactly like God said. In Revelation 20 says, I saw thrones, and those that were set upon the thrones, and I saw those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the testimony, the word of God, because they would not take the mark and receive the mark, nor would they worship the beast or his image. People beheaded. Now think about that. A 2,000-year-old prophecy that said in the last days, as we neared the second coming of Jesus, the great persecution, the coming Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the great tribulation, it said that there will be those who resist that mark, will not take the chip in their hand. They will not pledge allegiance to the new world order and the new government. Kenny, something happened here, but I hope you can still hear me. You can still hear me? Anyway, something happened. I think I'm getting all kind of interference. Isn't that interesting? Boy, you get on their subject there, and boy, what stuff happens, doesn't it? Yeah, something's happened. I've completely lost. Let's do this. We're going to take a break. We're going to fix this problem, and we'll be right back, and we'll give them a little more of their own medicine. Amen.
Who are you? What did you tell them?
listening to Prophecy Quake. And again, I think we're still having some sound issues, but can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you can hear me, then we'll just go with it. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, getting back on our subject here, we are definitely, we're definitely into this, you guys. The FEMA camps are a real thing. And what I was talking about a minute ago and getting on was the subject of the guillotines. Now, there have been people on the Internet who've talked about they've seen these things, truck drivers that they've delivered them, others that they've seen them on certain military bases and in certain places in the country. Well, anyway, what's been going on is that in our church, it was wild. I was preaching on this, talking about this, and a guy that started going to our church used to be a truck driver, and he's from Louisiana, and he used to be a truck driver, and he came up to me, and he had never heard this, and he had only recently given his life to the Lord in the last year or so, and he began to share with me. He goes, he said, I used to drive trucks, and he goes, I made deliveries to a military base in Louisiana, and I can't remember the name of it, the base, but he said, I used to deliver these things, and they would, I would drive into a building. They would order me to stay in the truck. Some people would go back behind the truck. They would unload stuff. I'd never see what it was. He said, and then they'd tell me to drive out. He said, well, one particular time I was delivering to this base. He said, I had to go to the bathroom bad, real bad. And so he said, well, he just couldn't take it anymore. And so they were back there unloading the truck, and he got out of the truck to go to the bathroom. And when he did, he saw what they were unloading, and he said, I saw them unloading guillotines. And he said, they went ballistic on me, yanked me up, yanked me into an office, made me sign all kind of paperwork that I would not divulge what I saw. He said, when they unloaded and I left, I got pulled over by the sheriff. The sheriff took me in, made me swear up and down I would not talk about what I saw. And he said, I didn't know what was going on. I was just kind of scared, because I'm like, what's the big deal? I don't care what y'all are doing type thing. Because he didn't have a context. He didn't have a Christian context to put it in. He didn't have an idea, what they were, why they would have that. A lot of times you just think, well, what are they trying to scare, prisoners or whatever? But, folks, it's in the Bible. So you fast forward to that. So I've got a guy who tells me that he saw them with his own eyes. And this is a guy that I know loves Jesus and wouldn't lie to me as his pastor. And he had, again, like I said, when he saw it several years back, he had no context to put it in. But he also shared that before he became a truck driver, and this is what was wild, that he had worked for Halliburton. And he told me, he said, I worked for Halliburton building one of these camps in Louisiana. And so I thought, how amazing how God reveals what's going on. And the Lord spoke, and he was very clear when he said that, what they do in the secret, he's going to shout it from the rooftops. It seems to always leak out, doesn't it, what they're doing and what they're planning. And God's giving his people a warning. There is a persecution coming to America. The UN will take over the United States. The United States will be attacked severely by terrorists. We will also be attacked by false flag events. We are headed into a very perilous, perilous time in America. And the prophets of God and people of God are hearing these things and seeing these things. And then like that, the confirmations are coming. Before he even told me about the guillotines and the FEMA camps, here we have a DHS agent leak it to us. And then we find documents online about it. Again, if you're not paying attention, if you're not digging, if you're not listening, if you're not seeking after the Lord, you got your face in video games, you got your face in pornography, you got your face in your tablets and your phones, like see, the horses are coming. The horses are coming. And she saw two horses. And I'm going to tell you, the first two horses I've already been riding for a while. And I'm not going to get into what they are. That's another show. But there's two horses. The black horse is the one with the parabalances, the one that's going to bring about the economic collapse, the food shortages, the famines, the difficulties in having enough wheat, enough barley, enough bread on the table. But the other horse is the green horse. And it says the green horse we know is Islam. And the green horse, it says the rider on the green horse is death, and hell followed after him. Because that ain't good. None of those horses good. But we are being warned by God to get ourselves ready spiritually. Get out of sin. Get out of compromise. Get out of lukewarmness. Get off your phone. Get off those stupid games. Quit playing Candy Crush for hours. Come on, folks. It's time to look at the news and do a little research yourself and read your Bibles and get on your knees and pray and get ready. Because, listen, you're going to need supernatural power to go through what you're going to have to go through. I believe God's going to supernaturally intervene for some of his people. It's going to be like the days in the first century when you saw James, the Apostle James, and it says Herod began to persecute the church. And it says the Apostle James was killed by the sword of Herod. God allowed that to happen. The Apostle James was a godly man. He was a righteous man. But God allowed him to be martyred. And when the church saw that, boy, there's going to be martyrs. It could even be our leaders. They began to pray without ceasing. Peter was taken and put in prison. Well, what happened to Peter, though? Wasn't Peter's time. The church was praying for him. And the church began to really see we're in a spiritual battle that has physical ramifications and consequences. And so the church began praying. And what did God do? Here's Peter taken captive by King Herod, right? Surrounded by guards, chained in a prison. And an angel comes in at night, drops the chains off, opens the door, and walks Peter out the front door. I mean, some folks had to die the next day, right? They just didn't play that way. But Peter walks out of the prison, and you know, he was to be executed the next day. And God delivers him and, of course, continues to use Peter for many more years, decades before he becomes a martyr later on in the first century. So there will be martyrs, but there will be people God will supernaturally protect and deliver in that hour. But you better be walking with Jesus. You better be walking in truth. You better be walking in righteousness. You better be walking, you know, holiness and obedience. This is not a game. This is life and death. And this is why it's so important to become a Christian that hears the voice of God. Because we've got to hear what the Lord is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, what Jesus is saying, because we need to know, hey, maybe we don't need to go over here to this place. Maybe we don't need to do this on this day. It's going to get that serious. We're going to have to be people who believe in the supernatural when the rice and the beans are running out, or we need, you know, a little squirrel to come up so we can have dinner or something. We're going to have to be praying for God to multiply food and to supernaturally provide what we need. And guess what? He will. You know, we see all these lessons in the Bible, how he provided for, he delivered the children of Israel from slavery, from Egypt, how the Egyptians came after them and he drowned them in the sea. And then when they were out in the middle of the desert, no water, he makes water come out of a rock. They wanted meat, he brought in quail and fed millions of people. He rained manna, bread from heaven. He took care of them in that desert. God can take care of his people. But there were a lot of people who mumbled and complained and sinned, and they died in that desert. And they died going to hell, lost. You know, we can get in a theological discussion about that. But bottom line, God can protect his people. God can provide for his people. And we're going to have to be supernatural people. Normal. Let me just say this. Normal Christians. Normal Christians hear the voice of God. Normal Christians prophesy. Normal Christians dream dreams and have visions. Normal Christians speak in tongues and cast out demons. Normal Christians believe God for healing. You know, it's going to get to the point, the Bible says in Revelation 13, no man will be able to buy or sell unless he takes the mark of the beast. That means you pledge allegiance to the system, the Antichrist system, the Antichrist, the world government, the UN, whatever they're going to call it, the World Federation, whatever the new name's going to be. And they're going to cause you to pledge allegiance. You're going to have to take that chip or the electronic tattoo or whatever it ends up being as a pledge of allegiance to the new leaders and the new world government. And if you don't, they say you're not going to be able to buy or sell. So what are you going to do? You going to be able to run to the emergency room? You going to be able to run to the doctor when something's wrong? No, folks, listen, we're getting to that point now. We're getting to the point where, what was it, our Senator Schumer just told Christians, basically, you need to choose your faith or your business. You can't have both. That right there is the spirit of Antichrist talking about, and that's what's leading us to the mark of the beast. I mean, we're headed toward that, where they're going to say, you Christians, you people, unless you pledge allegiance, unless you worship and revere and take this chip in your hand, you're not going to be able to have a business. You're not going to be able to buy and sell. And then Christians, we're going to have our mind made up. What about when you can't put food on the table for your kids and your kids are hungry? You better know Jesus. You better know you can get down there and pray and God will supernaturally meet your needs. See, I will never bow. Listen, I know they listen. I've had the U.S. Cyber Command on my websites. I've had the Department of Defense. I've had all kind of snooping government agencies, including the government agencies of Facebook, Twitter, and Apple on my website, all back-to-back in the same minute, 60 seconds. So I know that they're looking at what I say. I know they're data mining my site. I know they know where I stand. I know they'll be coming for me. I got news for you guys. I've seen the hand of God slap down your predator drone out of the sky. You know, don't forget, they sent an army of commandos, special forces, to get Elijah the prophet too. And fire came down from heaven and killed three SEAL teams. So beware who you go after. It ain't going to work out all the time.
Amen.
Amen. So for those listening or messing with our show tonight, we love Jesus and he will take care of us. And trust me, you better get on his side or he will take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm fired up tonight. I mean, this is again, you know, I had a brother who's a good brother in the Lord prophesy over me and pray over me this past Saturday night at the conference. And one of the things he said about prophets, he said, a prophets and prophetic ministry is usually way out ahead of people. They're ahead of the curve. They're ahead of everybody else. So people look at them like they're crazy. But here's the deal: you're blessed if you listen.
Exactly.
You know, the Bible talks about, you know, Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 10 verse 40 and 41. He said, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." Well, what's a prophet's reward? You get to know things before they happen. You get to get yourself ready before you can't get ready. Now, I tell everybody, America is in trouble. I've seen the East and West Coast destroyed. And now, you know, the Lord spoke to me this word unprecedented in December 31st, you know, 2013. And now here we're looking at, you know, we just read it tonight, you know, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and he talked about signs. The Lord would do signs in the heaven above and in the earth beneath. Guess what just happened today? We read an article that Yosemite National Park's been shut down because the world's largest supervolcano underneath Yosemite is heating up and has melted the roads. And I quote the article. It says the gravel roads were turned to oatmeal and the asphalt roads melted like wax, and they had to shut down part of the park to keep people out of there. Signs in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. Again, unprecedented activity and things going on in the world. And just get ready, folks. The Lord spoke to me, and he said unprecedented terrorism, unprecedented warfare. I mean, we've already had an unprecedented warfare event with Russia taking the Ukraine and what's going on with taking Crimea and now talking about surgical strikes in the Ukraine. We've had unprecedented warfare already in Israel. Hamas has shot more rockets at Israel than any other time in this ongoing struggle between Hamas and Israel. I mean, just this last go-around in 2014 here has been over 800 rockets. The time before, just 630 or so. So we're in, again, another unprecedented level of warfare here. I shared with you, we've got unprecedented weather events going on. We just had three more dead bankers, all for J.P. Morgan. Imagine that. Three more. And I talked about that in the article when I did the update on the word unprecedented. Because we've had over 30 mysterious deaths of bankers, international bankers. We're talking bigwigs, elites, and J.P. Morgan and some of these other big, big firms, and they were all connected in some ways. And some of them, oh, yeah, it made it look like they committed suicide. Others, they went in and shot their whole family. Listen, folks, something is going on in the world, something beyond normal. I mean, we're seeing all kind of crazy stuff going on I'm going to give you another unprecedented. Here we are, 2014, started back in March. Here's an article, Ebola virus. Can nations stop the deadliest ever outbreak from spreading? I mean, just today I saw where they said it's just continuing to spread in Africa. They can't stop it. And that this is a new strain of Ebola that's even more deadly and more difficult to manage. We had the doctor, one of the biggest doctors that's been treating this and trying to deal with this, and he said that this is, his words, unprecedented. We are in the beginning of sorrows, people. The United States, we will see a serious attack soon. We will see natural disasters. We will see bigger and greater earthquakes. We will see the deterioration of our economy and our society. We will see unrest, possibly civil war between different factions in our military. We will see unprecedented events. And the Lord told me this, just to go on and say it. I mean, he told me when he began to deal with me about updating this and showing all these things that have happened. And he was telling me, the year's not even up yet, son. We still got several months to go. What's going to happen? Will you say, Pastor, you trying to scare me? Yes. I hope I scare the hell out of you.
Amen.
The sin out of you, the doubt out of you. I hope I scare it all out of you and that you run to Jesus and get clothed with his righteousness and get on the armor of God and get in the truth of the word and get filled with the Holy Ghost and become a spirit-led, walking Christian full of power, and that you start becoming a witness and a light for him in this dark hour, because there's a lot of people around you that need you. They need you to be a light. They need you to see you walk it out. They need to see you have power. There are so many people that you can reach that I'll never reach. But praise God, hopefully I reach you tonight. If you're listening within the sound of my voice, you're listening to this program live, you're hearing this after the fact on an archive show, listen, you're hearing the warnings. You're hearing the word. You're hearing the call, this midnight call, this last hour call to get in the fields and work for God, to get in to the prayer closet and get close to Jesus. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get ready. And so that whether you live or you die, whether you suffer or you triumph, no matter what comes your way, you're ready. I love the way Paul said it. Whether I live or die, it is for Christ. Amen. While I have breath, I will do his work. I will love him. I will live for him. I will preach his gospel. I will obey his spirit. I will be a light to the world. I will do my best to tell people the truth and warn them and hear the voice of God. And if I die, I'm going to be with him. I cannot lose. And you know what? I cannot be bought. I cannot be intimidated. I cannot be pushed away from the one I know is the way, the truth, and the life. The one I know, his word is true for so many reasons. I see people all the time posting these things. Oh, the Bible is flawed. It's not. It's got mistakes. It's written by men. All this nonsense. I'm just sitting there going, you're ignorant, blind idiot. You speak of things you know not.
Worldliness. Speaking of worldliness, this just kind of came on to me here, and I'm going to share it with you folks out there, and I'm going to be really blunt about it. I know there's some people out there listening that are sports-minded people, so maybe this will open your eyes and shake you down to your toes. You know what a 2-minute warning is.
most critical part of a game. Well, that's what we're in, folks. We're in a true two-minute warning. But here's the thing. There's no timeouts from the referees or from the sidelines. And there's no TV commercial timeouts either. The clock is ticking. What are you going to run on your plays? Are you going to run the right plays and surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Be a consistent Christian? Or are you going to choose the playbook of the enemy? It's up to you. But I've said this often, and I'll say it to my dying breath. Your choices have consequences. Let your choices be good ones. Amen, brothers.
Amen. Amen. If you're out there tonight, you have a dream. You've had a dream. You've had a word from the Lord, something that God's really shaking you up about. Give us a call. We've got about 15 minutes, a little over left. 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. We really do want to hear from you tonight. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Prophecy Quake. You're listening to us here on Blog Talk Radio.
But first get a Bible and start reading now. The moment will come when they will not allow distribution, possession of anything Christian. You'll go underground, a secret resistance, and face persecution, imprisoned and beaten. Now is the time to make your decision, to battle his minions left on this earth, or fall for a false explanation. Prefer to be herded like sheep. The ancient delusion, the oldest of schemes, has come to conclusion. The mark of the beast from the father of lies, the angel of light, master of disguise. He's devising a plan, preparing us now, and through evolution convincing the crowd that aliens somehow are out there and bound to have all of the answers and power to know the solution. Like indigo children, smarter than humans, more intuition, much more evolved, they're sending a vision. Prepare the whole world with a false explanation. If we're to evolve, we must remove Christians. They call it the cleansing, and this is their mission.
Evolve or die refers to whether humanity survives as a species. There is an enormous awakening happening on the planet.
The age of Aquarius ending duality. Oprah, the secret, and Eckhart Tolle preach what will bring in a new age reality based in traditions of pagan theosophy. Bound to be thousands of offshoots of Crowley, students of Alistair Bailey, who follow the lies of Helena Blavatsky, radically altering, changing the pages of history, laying the groundwork forged by the tools of Lucifer, paving the way for the United Nations, a slow preparation, patiently waiting since the creation, a garden of Eden, a planet whose placement in time is persuaded by aliens, outside invasions, abductions, and cow mutilations, creating an atmosphere ripe for the picking, with movies and Hollywood implanting trickery, mastery over the masses, the whole world collapses in panic, all death for someone to save them. Obey anyone that will answer their questions. The savior of sorts, a new age messiah. The wolf in sheep's clothing is what will transpire. The mayhem is out of control at this moment. A world full of chaos, confusion, and torment. I'm telling you, don't stop at anything. You can't afford to face life without Christ as your king. The moment might come when the storms of reality, trapped in a world where it's actually happening.
That's one of my favorite quotes, that a significant portion of the Earth's population will soon recognize, if they haven't already done so, that humanity is now faced with a stark choice: evolve or die.
Our constitutional journey did not stop then, and it must not stop now, Judge. And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that. And Judge, I need to know whether you will be a justice who believes that the constitutional journey must continue to speak to these consequential decisions, or that we've gone far enough in protecting against government intrusion into our autonomy, into the most personal decisions we make. Judge, that's why this is a critical moment.
And we're back. And you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle. We've got about 12 minutes. We really do want to hear from you out there tonight. If you have something the Lord has laid on your heart, listen, quit being afraid out there. There's some of you listening that I know you have told me things that God has shown you in dreams and things that God has laid on your heart, maybe a warning for America, some things you've seen. And you know what? It's okay if it's not good. We want to give you an opportunity. You've got just a few minutes, so give us a call, 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. We would love to hear from you about that because, listen, that's what it's about. We want to be a platform here that you can share some things that are on your heart. We know I've heard from a lot of people who are listeners, and we appreciate all our listeners out there and those who listen live, those who listen to the archive messages. We appreciate you. We love the feedback. We hear from you from time to time. But a lot of you are just nervous or scared about getting on the air. So quit letting fear rule you. If you have something on your heart, then we want to hear what the Lord is saying through you tonight, and it's very important. And again, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's not right to use fear, right? Well, I'm going to give you a verse from the book of Jude, actually a couple of verses from the book of Jude, verse 22 and 23. And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke through the Apostle Jude, who was, of course, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus. But the Apostle Jude said it this way. He said, "On some have compassion, making a difference, and on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." So the Bible told us some people you will just use compassion and love and mercy and patience, and that will win their hearts. And then there are people, though, for the most part, that you have to shake and wake with fear. And, of course, the word fear there is the Greek word phobia. Well, listen, we have a caller. We're going to take that call right now. And you are on the air. Who am I speaking with tonight?
Crystal.
Crystal, how are you doing?
Fine,
what's
Pastor
your...
Dean.
Go
I just
ahead.
Want to say I really appreciate your show and that I've been listening to it for several months now since I gave my life back to the Lord back in March. But before I gave my life back to the Lord, I was into the end time stuff, you know, just that's out there on the internet and everything. And now that I've given my life back to Jesus and I've been in touch with your show and everything, that it's unbelievable how the Bible now just is really opening it up and really explaining to me what's going on. And it's hard to believe that there are Christians out there who don't believe the prophecies that are being foretold. But I don't understand that, but I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and we're thrilled about what God's doing in your life, and I know He's got greater things for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
God bless you too.
Well, all right, we have a caller there, Crystal, and anyone else. We have about 8 minutes left. We would love to hear from you. Again, give us a call, 347-884-8566. And it's amazing that there are people out there. Crystal had shared this with us before, but, you know, where she was seeing these things happening in the world and she was hearing from different news sources and she knew things were getting rough, but there really wasn't a context fully to put them in. But once you really start digging into what the Bible prophecy has to say, you see where God, in His mercy and His great love for mankind, He wanted us to know what was going to transpire in the last day so it would not catch us by surprise, and so we could get ourselves ready spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I know I've said that a few times tonight because the spiritual side is the most important. is making sure you are living, your sins are forgiven, you're living right, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're repenting of sin, you're getting in a true walk with Jesus, being born again and just getting into the Word of God and living according to His commandments. If you do that, you know, it's the truth, it's life. But emotionally, I think a lot of people try to push things aside when they're scary. But God wants us to be prepared. And the more information you have about something, the more you can emotionally prepare yourself. And then, of course, I believe we should be doing some physical preparation as well. And I've mentioned that already on this program, but food, water, a way to heat your home, a way to light your home, a way to protect your home, to secure it, things of that nature, a way to, a plan with family, friends, neighbors, a plan to work together and help each other and things of that nature. When times get really tough, we're going to need each other the most, but we need to prepare ourselves and not just let it catch us by surprise. We have someone here that's, I guess they have, through chat, they have shared a dream here, and I see if I can just read this through the chat room here. And we'll try to read it. This is from Mandy, and said that she said, I had a very visceral dream the one night. I was outside looking up at a full moon, noticed a crack in the moon. As I was looking at the moon, it exploded, crumbled into dust. No one had electricity. I found a lantern and got the batteries. I tried to go up the road. The interstate was blocked off by what seemed to be the military, and they would not let people on it. The only way to get around was back roads no one knew about. It was just weird and has struck me, so I thought I would share. So here's another Christian woman that I know from a long, long time ago that's God's been waking her up and been giving her dreams and been laying this very heavy on her heart to warn Christians. I know that I've spoken with Mandy, and she has talked to me about how she is amazed how many Christians just don't want to hear it or just are oblivious to what is really going on and what's about to happen. But, you know, I believe God has raised up Mandy to be an intercessor and also to be a watchman, to be one who will blow the trumpet and the alarm and give warning. And, of course, listen, those of you listening tonight, another way to give warning is share this, the link to this show with other people. I mean, as soon as we go off the air, the show will be archived. You can share the link. You can email it through Facebook. You can email it through your email. You can text it to people. You can use this show as a tool to be a witness to people around you. You can say, hey, listen to this radio show. This is a pastor in Alabama. God gives him prophetic revelation, and, you know, even his little daughters had a prophetic word. You know, say, you know, there's some warnings coming down from the Holy Spirit to America and to Americans. And this is not just going to affect America. It will affect these things. We're going to come down worldwide, Australia, Africa. I mean, Africa's already seen with the Ebola thing and so many other things going on there. You know, Russia, I mean, the war is going to touch the entire world that's coming. The Middle East will soon explode into a massive war. Even if there's a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel, we got the Iranian problem and the Syrian problem and the ISIS problem and the al-Nusra problem and all those radical Islamic problems, that green horse getting ready to cause massive death. So we've got a lot of issues going on in the world, and we have this window. We have this technology, I believe, for a short time left that we'll be able to use it. Even if it still works, there's going to be a day when Christians will not be allowed to use it. So we need to use the phones. We need to use the tablets. Instead of playing stupid games, we need to use the tablets and the phones and the computers and the internet and all that stuff to get the warnings out, to get the truth of the gospel, to get the Bible prophecies out, to show people how Bible prophecy is happening and how and what's going to happen in the very near future. I mean, we are at the very end, people. We are there, and use every tool possible. I can say this. I've walked with Jesus as a minister for the last 27, going on 28 years. I'm telling you right now, I know God is saying this is it. We are at the end. We are entering into the last years of mankind. We are entering into the last time, the last judgments, the last trouble. And again, I'm telling you, and I don't mind, you go to our website, you go to iTunes and get the pre-tribulation rapture myth sermon and you listen to it, but we will not be raptured out of here, Christians. I don't care how many of your pastors tell you and keep telling you that you're going to be raptured out of here before all this stuff happens. It is not true. It is a deception. It is a lie. It is not biblical. You need to get yourself ready spiritually, emotionally, and physically. You need to get money out of the stupid stock market before it goes under. You need to buy what you're going to need to survive, seeds, water, I mean, all kinds of things that you should invest in. Pay your house off if you can. Some people could get their money out of the stock market, pay off their house, buy some land, pay off your car, pay off, have something you own, you know, a novel idea. Americans, actually own something that's yours. But I'm telling you, when this goes down, you won't be sorry that you did it. And, of course, unfortunately tonight, we have run out of time tonight in our show. We are hopeful that something has touched your life. Join us next week, same time, same place. You've been listening to Prophecy Quake. This is Pastor Dean Odle. You have a blessed evening.
To Prophecy Quake. To further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook us at Dean Odle Ministries.